And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Repatriations of Britons killed by a gunman in last week's Tunisian beach massacre began on Wednesday, Downing Street has said. Prime Minister David Cameron's official spokeswoman said that 21 Britons have been positively identified as victims of the murder spree, while another 9 UK nationals are believed to be among the dead. All wounded Britons have now been brought back to the UK, with 4 severely injured holidaymakers flown home in an RAF C-17 transport plane accompanied by medevac teams. The 4 injured people are being treated at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham, John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford, the Derriford Hospital in Europe, Plymouth, and St Mary's Hospital in London, said number 10. Mr Cameron addressed senior ministers at Cabinet about the UK's response to last Friday's atrocity, when a total of 38 people died after a 23-year-old student, Severdeen Rezgi, opened fire in the resort of Sousse. British holidaymakers are defying the terrorists and continuing to stay in Sousse despite the bloodbath on the beach. The sands at Sousse were quiet and calm as tourists and locals alike continued to pay their respects to the 38 dead outside the RAU Imperial Mahaba and Bellevue hotels. Flowers continued to be laid at 3 heart-shaped memorials that mark where so many people lost their lives, with many people in tears as they read the messages of support in several languages that have been placed in the sand. Locals fear their businesses will be destroyed by the attack, with European tourists going home early and staying away in the aftermath, which claimed as many as 30 British lives, but not all have left. Among those who came to lay flowers were Caroline Baptiste and her daughter Jessica from Kent, and twins Chloe and Courtney Chapman from Hull. Miss Baptiste, who heard the drama unfold from a nearby water park, said they came to lay flowers out of respect to people not returning from their holidays, and had no intention of cutting short their holiday. "We are having a lot of people at home desperately telling us to get home, to do this and to do that, but we know how it feels while we are here," she said. "The Tunisians will look after us. You cannot ruin a country for the sake of some act of cowardice and terror." Chloe Chapman added, "We thought it's not the Tunisians' fault. We have stayed to help them. We are grateful to them for keeping us safe, because we do feel safe in our hotel. There is security everywhere, so people back home don't understand what we are seeing here. They have to understand why we are helping people out." On the streets of the holiday town, police armed with assault rifles were a visible presence at road checkpoints and checking parked cars. Hotel staff also guarded the gates of the hotels in the area. Prayers were said in many churches around the UK for the families of the victims. Mr Cameron announced that a minute's silence would be held in memory of the victims at noon today, a week after the outrage. Downing Street said that the flags will be flown at half-mast over Whitehall departments all day. More scenes of chaos at the French port of Calais, as striking French ferry workers have blocked the Channel Tunnel again, causing services to be suspended, Eurotunnel said. Both Eurostar and shuttle services were halted because of fire on the tracks at Calais caused by the demonstrators. As Calais was plunged into chaos for the second time in a fortnight, the UK government described the situation as completely unacceptable. A Eurotunnel spokesman said, "Services through the Channel Tunnel are currently suspended until further notice due to the action by the Maritime Nord Union, who are also blockading the port of Calais." Eurotunnel deplores the actions of this union, which have severely disrupted cross-channel traffic over the past week. Eurotunnel calls on the governments of both Britain and France to bring an end to this industrial action and to restore order in the Calais region. It is understood that this happened at 12:45 a.m. when protesters broke into the Eurotunnel site and blocked the track with burning tyres. They cut their way through fences into the Eurotunnel site. Earlier, the British government described the disruption caused by the industrial action as completely unacceptable. British and French governments were working closely to see the services return to normal as soon as possible. Passengers on both sides of the channel intending to travel through either Dover or Calais should check with their chosen operator before they travel. Operation Stack is in operation on the N20, and road users are advised to follow the signs in order to minimise disruption. Scenes are shown on news broadcasts of hundreds of migrants attempting to climb on any UK-bound vehicle to try to smuggle themselves into England. Brazil's image as a religious melting pot has been shaken in recent weeks by a series of hate crimes, raising alarm over growing intolerance amid a surge in evangelical Christianity. Brazilians are known for fusing African, European, and indigenous beliefs into a diverse array of colourful local traditions. But that syncretism has recently come under fire in a wave of attacks on practitioners of spiritualism and Afro-Brazilian religions. Earlier this month, Gilberto Arruda, a well-known medium popular with the stars, was found murdered, his hands bound and face swollen, at a spiritual centre in Rio de Janeiro. Arruda, 73, was known for practicing spiritual surgery and claimed to be able to receive the spirit of a World War II German doctor. The tomb of the country's most famous medium, Chico Xavier, was also vandalized in Minas Gerais state. Several days earlier, also in Rio de Janeiro, an 11-year-old girl, Kayleen Campos, was hit in the head with a stone when two men assaulted her family on its way home from a candomblé service, an Afro-Brazilian religion whose practitioners dress in white for ceremonies. The family said the men waved a Bible at them and shouted, "Devils and Jesus will return," before hurling a stone and wounding the girl. Mayor Eduardo Paes apologized in the name of all Rio citizens and warned that the city, which is gearing up to host the 2016 Olympics, risked damaging its image of tolerance. "Diversity is Rio's brand. It's unacceptable for people to be attacked because of their religion," he said. No one has been convicted in any of the recent hate crimes, but they have prompted a backlash against evangelicals from some who perceive the growing power of the new Protestant churches as a threat. Evangelicals have made major inroads in Brazil in the past 30 years. In 1970, just 5% of the population was Protestant. Today, the figure is 22%, some 44 million people. There are evangelical television networks, radio stations, and a political movement that is now the third largest group in Congress. Known as the Evangelical Front, it opposes racial and gender equality, abortion, and gay marriage. Religiously motivated hate crimes are not new in Brazil, but are getting worse with the rise of evangelicalism, said Ivanir dos Santos, a Babaleo or Condomble guardian of secrets. Dos Santos has since 2007 organized an annual march against religious intolerance on Rio's famed Copacabana beach that draws hundreds of thousands of people. "It's a city that's going to host the Olympic Games. We have to support cultural diversity," he told AFP. "We're not against the evangelicals, but against the fascist minority that wants to rule all over all of us with hegemonic power. It's dangerous for freedom of speech and Brazilian democracy." Brazil has the largest Catholic population in the world, some 123 million people. But many of those Catholics have a very fluid notion of their faith. Every year, millions of Brazilians attend Christmas Mass, then dress in white on New Year's Eve and make offerings to Yemanja, the goddess of the sea in Candomblé. Many of them also believe in mediums, spirits, and reincarnation. But the evangelical churches strongly reject African-influenced traditions. The effect is especially visible in poor communities where evangelicals have made especially large inroads. Many of the drug traffickers who rule over Brazil's slums have converted to evangelicalism, thanks partly to the pastors who preach in the country's overpopulated prisons and have now banned candomblé places of worship on their turf, according to Dos Santos. "That is changing the soul of cities like Rio de Janeiro," said Helio Santos, head of the Institute for Diversity. "This group is of neo-Pentecostalists have changed the modern culture of the city. The joy of carnival and samba has become a sin," he said. Norway is claiming €4.6 million compensation from the Catholic Church for exaggerating membership numbers to obtain more state aid, the Oslo diocese said Monday. The diocese, its bishop and the financial officer are suspected of fraudulently registering thousands of people on its membership lists between 2010 and 2014, which enabled it to obtain 50 million kroner or €5.8 million in state subsidies. Norway's church denies engaging in fraud, but has admitted its past methods were unsatisfactory. In Norway, a predominantly Protestant country, the state provides subsidies to organized religions, the size of which is determined by the number of members. The Dagbladet Daily, which first broke the story, said the diocese had received a letter from the administration on Monday calling for the 40.6 million kroner overpayment to be refunded. A spokesman for the diocese, Lisa Wade, confirmed the contents of the letter. She told AFP that the church would not be paying the sum and would take the matter up with the culture ministry. "We have a very different understanding of the law," she said. "It's complex. It's not like it's a clear-cut case." Norway's Roman Catholic minority had 140,000 registered members in 2014, more than double the number in 2010. To explain the jump, the church has claimed it benefited from a large wave of Catholic immigrants, notably Poles, who practiced their religion but did not register with the church, which in turn cost the church more but did not result in increased state subsidies. The names have now been removed from the list. More than 21,000 other cases have yet to be clarified. Police raided the Catholic Church's office on February the 26th on suspicions of aggravated fraud. And finally, a hunt is continuing to find a 10-foot-long heavy breather. Zombie, the 10-foot python, escaped from a home last Friday. The rogue reptile was spotted on the side of the road in Larkfield, near Maidstone in Kent. A picture of the constrictor, who is a female coastal carpet python, has been posted on social media and shared hundreds of times. Zombie's worried owner, Chris Sinney, has spent the past week searching for his missing pet. He said, "It's like looking for a green needle in a green haystack, but there are so many people out there looking. There are people I don't know, friends, young people, old people, women, children, it's lovely really." Zombie, named because of her heavy breathing, is one of 9 pet snakes he keeps, and he thinks she may have escaped by sneaking through a conservatory door into the garden. Mr. Sinney said, "She's 11 years old and she's no danger to anyone as she's used to living with me and used to being around humans, but I would still advise people to be cautious if they find her. Zombie normally eats rabbits or big cats." My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.